Been over there, and you might be lucky and have some money out in the reception. We're happy to have Claudia Wolf from Surrey as our next speaker. Please.
Yes, thank you very much for the invitation to this workshop. So, I'm going to talk about approximate energy conservation for symplectic time series discretizations of semilinear wave equations. And this is some joint work with Marcel Oliver from the Free University, International University in Bremen. Okay, so my talk will be in this general area of geometric integration, and we already heard quite a few talks on this, but I want to still briefly recall the main philosophy of geometric integration, of fracture-preserving discretizations. So the aim is to design integrators which preserve as many properties of the continuous system as possible. For example, conserve quantities and qualitative behavior. And okay, for ordinary differential equations, I mean, there's still lots of open problems. Like we heard yesterday, for example, in Professor Kispert's talk. But generally speaking, for the ordinary differential equation, it's rather well developed, this theory, already, whereas there's not much for partial differential equations. So for ordinary differential equations, for example, the first textbook was also already in 94 by Sanzana and Calvo, and then there was an overview article in some recent textbooks on geometric integration. Okay, and as we also heard already yesterday in Professor Kispert's talk, in general, it's not possible, to preserve all the properties of the continuous systems in a discretization. Is not possible. You have to decide for some, and then others won't be preserved. But sometimes it can happen that if you design a numerical method to exactly conserve one quantity, one property of the continuous system, that then it also automatically approximately conserves some other quantities, some other properties of the continuous system. An example is that symplectic integrators of autonomous Hamiltonian systems approximately conserve energy as well over a long time. Okay, so I want to explain, review first why this is the case for ODEs. So first I want to introduce motion again. Okay, so Hamiltonian system, we have a system as a differential equation of that form. So we have this symplectic structure matrix and Hamiltonian function. And one can show that the time evolution of such a Hamiltonian system is symplectic, which means that the linearization satisfies this equation. So in particular, we see that the determinant of the linearization of the time evolution is always 1, so which means that Hamiltonian flows conserve phase space volume. So this is a nice idea to try to conserve this property in a numerical method. So that means to also construct numerical method and discretization side energy, which is also symplectic in this sense. Okay, but then also if you have a Hamiltonian system, you have a lot of conserved quantities in general. I mean, namely for each continuous symplectically operating symmetry of the Hamiltonian, so any symmetry that leaves the Hamiltonian invariant, you get a conserved quantity of your Hamiltonian system. Right, so and the easiest example is if you have a Hamiltonian that isn't explicitly time dependent, so an autonomous Hamiltonian system, like for example potential energy plus kinetic energy, then the Hamiltonian doesn't explicitly depend on time. So therefore you have a time shift symmetry here, and then the corresponding conserved quantity of the Hamiltonian system is just the energy. So Hamiltonian system conserves energy, and then if you have other symmetries of the Hamiltonian, for example, rotational invariance, then angular momentum is conserved. Okay, it would be interesting to try to conserve this, these properties, these invariant quantities also in numerical discretization. So, but in general, one can show that if one has wants to construct a discretization of a Hamiltonian system, it is not possible to have a discretization which is symplectic and conserve conserves energy in general. That's not possible. Then you have already the exact flow up to time reparameterization. But one can show that it's just basic result of backward error analysis for Hamiltonian ordinary differential equations, that if one has a symplectic one-step method applied to an autonomous Hamiltonian system, then this conserves a modified energy, which is close to the original energy, delta T to P close, where P is the order of the method, with an exponentially small error. And from that, you can also deduce that if your solution stays, the numerical solution stays bounded for a long time, then you get approximate energy conservation over very long time, exponentially long times. And so there are lots of different proofs for this very important fact. And the main idea is one applies backward error analysis, so that means one maps the error of the numerical method back into the input data. The input data in this case is the vector field, yeah, like the Hamiltonian. So one wants to construct a modified Hamiltonian such that the numerical method should be the exact delta t time map of this modified Hamiltonian system. That's the idea. It doesn't quite work because you can't embed a map into a flow in general, but it works up to an exponentially small error if you have an analytic Hamiltonian. Okay, and the way one can construct this modified Hamiltonian systems, there's different options. One way would be asymptotic expansion in one has a series, Taylor series, and delta t for the modified Hamiltonian. Construct that, and another way would be by averaging. Okay, and what one gets then is that the numerical method, it's the time delta t map of a modified Hamiltonian system with the exponentially small error, and therefore it conserves this modified Hamiltonian with an exponentially small error. And one can show that this modified Hamiltonian is kind of close to the original Hamiltonian. Okay, and the way one gets this exponential error estimate is, we've seen this a lot already, pretty much in each step of the iteration, you gain one order in delta t. Yeah, so if you perform the iteration k times, you get a Hamiltonian which is delta t to the k close to the original Hamiltonian is conserved. With a delta t to the k small error. And the coefficients in term of one of the delta t to the k grow. So you want to get an optimal truncation, and you do that if you perform 1 over delta t many iterations, and then you get this exponential error. Yes, very similar to what we've seen already during this conference. Okay, so I'm interested in generalizing this result to some partial differential equations, namely semi-linear wave equations. So I need to have a closer look at the constants that show up here. Okay, and so you need to keep in mind that the constants here depend on how close the discretization is to identity, which means kind of by delta t, so it's kind of close. It's related to the norm of the differential equation, of the vector field. Yeah, so this will cause problems if you have a PDE, because then you have unbounded operators, so this thing here is formally infinity. And then also the radius of analyticity of the time delta t map in of the discretization in delta t shows up, and this you will see in general is also it's not analytic if you look on Hilbert spaces at semi discretizations. Okay. So now I want to talk about extending this result to PDEs. So okay, in general, if you have a PDE, you have a symplectic structure in both space and time, and can try to conserve both. And the point is then, one gets conserved quantities for discretization for free if they correspond to symmetries which are not discretized. Okay, so if the symmetries are discretized, then it's not clear whether they are preserved or not. And of course, if you have a time shift symmetry in our original Hamiltonian, and then we discretize in time, then we only have a discrete shift symmetry in time, so we lose this conservation law in general. Okay, and similarly, if you discretize in space and you have angular momentum conserved, and you discretize in space and you lose this conservation of angular momentum. Okay, so then people have started looking at formal backward error analysis for nonlinear wave equations. I think Moore and Reich were the first, and they showed they derived modified Hamiltonians and momenta up to finite order. They didn't have rigorous estimates, and then I took Oliver and Marcel Oliver Midwest proved some rigorous result on exponentially accurate approximate momentum conservation if you discretize in space only and not in time. And then this was extended by Kano, and Kano also, she looked at finite order modified Hamiltonian. And then there's this other result we heard about yesterday, that you can also get finite order accurate approximate conservation of energy over long times, if you for small data and you have some non-resonance conditions. And what I want to do is I want to present some exponential error estimates rather than finite order error estimates. Okay, so I want to do this for the approximate energy conservation. Okay, so I just want to introduce the nonlinear wave equation again. We've seen this already today. So this is a Hamiltonian system, energy is conserved, and you also have space translation symmetry and the corresponding momentum is conserved. So I said before, you can ask yourself, if you discretize in space, what happens to the approximate momentum conservation? Or you can ask yourself, if you discretize in time, what happens to the energy conservation? And I'm going to look at this discretize in time and check what happens with the energy conservation. Okay, so if we want to only discretize in time, same discretization, you have to make sure you use some methods that make sense in a Hilbert space setting. Kind of give you these continuous maps, and the so you can go for example, we could talk about exponential integrators, but today I just want to talk about the simplest possible symplectic methods that work on Hilbert spaces, and this would be the implicit midpoint rule. Okay, so in order to apply the implicit midpoint rule to this nonlinear wave equation, we rewrite it as an abstract differential equation on some general Hilbert space, come to this in a minute, and then we have some operator A here which contains the Laplacians. And okay, you can apply this midpoint rule to this equation formally, get this. Here you have Laplacian applied onto something that's kind of unbounded, but then you can rewrite it and you get this expression. You see this is well defined because you apply Laplacian here, but then inverted the Laplacian again, so it's fine. So this gives you this is a well-defined continuous map, and then this term here is small, so you can iterate it, and then you get you can construct the midpoint rule. Okay, I will talk about function spaces in detail in a minute, but first I want to say, okay, we have something here that looks like an ordinary differential equation, right? Just on an infinite-dimensional space. So why can't we just apply our backward error analysis result for ODEs, this one. Why can't we just apply this on this this differential equation with the symplectic method, which is the implicit midpoint rule? Okay, so the reason you can't do this is because in the constants here, they were dependent on the norm on the vector field, and the vector field contains an unbounded operator. So pretty much these estimates make no sense. Okay, but then you could say, okay, but in reality, I never work with time-saving discretizations. I mean, I always also discretize in space, okay? So does this, what I'm going to talk about, have any relevance for full discretization? But the point is, it does have relevance, because even if you have a space discretization as well, then somehow the norm of this operator, which contains the Laplacian and so on, will grow like 1 over the space step size. So then these constant here, this will see, will grow like 1 over delta x. So we need delta t divided by delta x very much smaller than 1 to get any good estimates. And that's not a good, you don't want this. You have the CFL condition only gives you delta t should be equal to delta x. Yeah, this is like too much, a far too severe step size restriction. So therefore, it's better to require smoothness of the initial values and then only expect proof data estimates from analytic initial data, and to not have that step size restriction, or to be able to work in a foreseeable discretization. Okay, so I want to, the main result is want to talk to about today is that we can find also for the singular wave equation, if you apply the implicit midpoint rule discretization, we can find a modified Hamiltonian, which is delta t square close to the original Hamiltonian, and which is conserved with an exponentially small error by the implicit midpoint discretization. And we only talk about finite times here again, because I don't know in general whether the solution of the singular wave equation will exist for very long times. Yeah, so this, I only want to talk about finite times here. And so the result is almost looks the same like for ODEs, except from the fact that you have this different quotient here, this different exponent here. You used to have one, and now you have 1/2. Okay. And this result, it holds more generally, we have written it down for general Gaussian general Rouen-Kutta methods, but it could also be applied to other symplectic methods that make sense in the same for time semi discretizations. Well-defined methods there. And the method of proof, and you will hear more about this in the following days, and even this evening, I think, by it's a technique related to another technique that was used by Matisch and Scheel for rapidly forced Hamiltonian PDEs, and it will be used this evening, I think, by Gioco, so it is now for fluids and fluid equations. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about the proof. So we want to work with analytic functions, and we need to, we also want to talk about Hilbert spaces, of course. So how can I make an analytic function fit into a Hilbert space? Well, if I look at the Fourier extension of an analytic function, and I want it to be analytic so I can extend that into the complex plane, then this means that the Fourier coefficients I put for x here, and I say required to be that it can be extended, then they have to decay exponentially. And now to make this into a Hilbert space, I put this requirement, this decay requirement, into the norm, and then I get a Hilbert space. And with this scalar product, this is called a Jabri space, and one can show that the initial value problem for the singular wave equation is well posed in this space of analytic functions. And then the next thing is that the implicit midpoint rule semi-discretization of the similar linear wave equation is well posed in the same space. Okay, and the way one can see this is pretty much that this first bit here, the linear bit, is more or less an isometry, except from some zero eigenvalue where you have a Jordan block. And then the fixed point iteration I talked about, here you have more or less an isometry, and here you have something bounded, so you can apply the Banach fixed point theorem and you get the solution, which is actually analytic in U, but unfortunately only continuous in delta t. And the fact that it's only continuous in delta t is problematic if you want to write down expansions in delta t in general. Okay. So I kind of have to talk about this. I say it's only continuous in delta t, but I want to differentiate somehow. I need to be able to differentiate. So this is like, at the moment, it's a problem in a way. It's not the flow map and implicit midpoint rule, they are both not differentiable from one Hilbert space to the same Hilbert space, because you lose one order of, what order here. If you differentiate, because you get at zero, if you have, say, only a linear part, you get this A operator, which is, contains these derivatives. And this is an unbounded operator. But this operator has norm 1 when we just consider it as map from YTL plus 1 to YTL, okay? And one can show that for B, and then obviously it's easy to show that if we have in a linear case that these maps are differentiable, the flow map and the numerical method from YTL plus 1 to YTL. Kind of simple, but we have another linear method here. We have to apply fixed point theorem kind of to determine what the implicit midpoint rule is. So in order to also get the same result for the full discretization in the case of when you have a nonlinear wave equation, I kind of have to apply some kind of contraction between theorem on a scale of Banach spaces. If I do that, then I can show that the flow map and the implicitly bound rule, they are CK in TNU when from one space of higher regularity to a space of less regularity. And when you have this, then you can also write develop the easily convergence analysis. Just you can say that then the numerical solution stays close to the original solution if the initial data has higher regularity than the value, you know, the norm in which you measure the error. And this is just normal. We can Taylor expand now, and then we can apply. Locally, we can get this convergence result, and then we, you know, we do the normal thing. So now inequality to get this convergence. So, okay, you need this later. We know now we can differentiate the time delta t map in delta t, in discretization in delta t, from a space of higher regularity to a space of lesser regularity, and we have the convergence. Okay, now I want to talk about the backward error analysis result. And the problem is, one might think, okay, why don't we now just, you know, do the process and construct a modified vector field as a map of higher regularity, from a space of higher regularity to a space of less regularity? Well, you can do that, you know everything is well defined, but you don't have a flow map in general. You just have some vector field that might be ill-posed or something. You don't know, you know, you need to have a flow map in order to, you need to have to construct a modified flow in order to get the approximate energy conservation. Therefore, what one can do is one can just say, okay, we know we're working with Jevry functions, they decay exponentially, so we just go on a finite dimensional space, apply our backward error analysis result there on an ODE, and then the rest is exponentially small. So this is the idea. I just want to say, so I look at the eigenmodes of the this operator A, which are more or less like Fourier modes, and any function which less is in Jevry regular can in the original norm is be approximated exponentially well by its Ganarkel approximation. Okay, and then, so now we proceed as before. We say we construct some modified flow of modified Hamiltonian system which approximates the numerical discretization exponentially well. And this, and once we have this, we can infer that the corresponding modified energy is conserved exponentially well by the numerical method. So when we do that, as I said before, we just we go on finitely many Galerkin modes. Then we get an ODE and we have our implicit midpoint rule there, and now we just have an ODE where we want to apply our approximate energy conservation result. But we still have to be a little careful about the what's small here and what isn't small. Okay. Problem is that we have this AM here, and here we have delta T times AM, and AM is the discretized operator A, and it has norm M. So that means M can grow in general, and we have infinitely many modes, and M will be infinity. So we have to make sure that this coefficient here, this means how close you are to the identity, how close this discretization is to the identity. So we have that. We need that this coefficient is kind of small. M times delta G has to be small. And if we do this, then we can say, okay, we can say that for our ODE, we can approximate the numerical method restricted to this ODE by some modified vector field for an exponential small error, but the small parameter is this times the dimension pretty much of the projected vector fields of the projected space times delta t. So not quite ready yet. But then we can say, okay, now if I look at the error between the numerical method and the modified vector field, the modified flow, it has these two parts, the projection part and the ODE part that we already estimated. So ODE part can be estimated like this, where n times energy plus epsilon, yeah, get the exponentially small hour estimates here. And this first part, the projection part, is kind of exponentially small. So now I have two exponentially small estimates here. And we already, in the construction of the modified ODE, we already coupled the number of iteration steps to the step size, or the small parameter. Yeah. So now we also couple the number of Galerkin modes to the step size by some coefficient. And so the question is, what's the best coefficient? Now we see this thing here. When n becomes large, this is going to be small. Whereas here, when n becomes large, this is going to be O of 1. Yeah, so we have to have a trade-off here. And the best thing is here, so you know, what's the best choice of beta for the coupling? You just see the best one is where, you know, these are both of the same order, so when beta is 1/2. So that's why we get the coefficient 1/2 here. Okay, so now you might think you're done, that's it, but there's just one problem there, one tiny problem maybe. And this is that somehow for the ODE, epsilon was the small parameter. So if you apply the backward error analysis on the ODE, then since you have a second order method, if you see mit von Rolle second order, you have an O of epsilon square error. It's fine, but epsilon is just square root delta t, so you only get O of delta t here. So you might ask yourself, is there a reduction of order? Is the modified Hamiltonian really only delta t close? But you can show that it's not, this is, I mean, the only way we can do this slightly tricky, we can show that we have to look at the full modified PDE. We have to apply the backward error analysis on the full PDE up to order 2p, compare that with the corresponding projected modified vector field up to order 2p, and then show that they are, because n is like 1 over square root delta t, that they are kind of delta t to the p close, because you have 2p there, and yes, and then show that the modified vector field is up to order 2p is O of delta two, O of epsilon to 2p close to the modified vector field, and so this gives you O of delta t square here, delta p, maybe of order p, and then from this you can deduce that really the modified Hamiltonian and the original Hamiltonian are O of delta t to the p close. In this case, p is the order. So in our case, it's 2. Yes, and from this you can more or less, as before, just prove the theorem by, you only did it now for one step, but you can do finitely many steps because you have a finite time interval, so you still get exponential error estimates. And but in order to do this iteration, what you need is that your numerical method is bounded in the Gevre norm, and either you can assume that, if you assume this, then you can apply it as long this procedure, you get the exponential energy conservation as long as you want, but generally how would you get such an estimate? How would you know that the numerical discretization is bounded? So the way to do this is, one can say on a finite time interval, I assume my analytic solution is bounded, analytic on a bounded time interval, and then you apply the Gromfeld estimate and also get from the numerical method. So this gives you a general result then, but it's only for finite time. That's the price you pay for that. Okay, so I just want to say in the end, you can do similar results for full space-time discretizations, for example, the Leapfrog method, and for some other semi-linear Hamiltonian PDEs. This approach works for general semi-linear Hamiltonian PDEs, for example, nonlinear Schrödinger equations. And then an interesting question might be to ask yourself, can you do something similar for like more complicated PDEs? Like, for example, smoothed particle hydrodynamics, discretizations of ideal fluid dynamics. I don't know, but this might be interesting to discuss. And then I just want to say the similar kind of technique has been used by Carsten Matisse for to obtain exponential error estimates for rapidly forced Hamiltonian systems. And also similar techniques were used for homogenization of linear elliptic problems beyond all order. So the question is, can you do it for nonlinear problems? And then also one can ask yourself, use these techniques for approximate slow manifolds in Hamiltonian PDEs, and Yes, Jocko is going to talk about something similar in the dissipative case and similar techniques later on. Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, we think Claudia will do this presentation. Questions? Comments? Yes, please.
You mentioned that you work on exponential homogenization, which I know a little bit. I'm just curious, is there any hope to have this back in a numerical analysis for sort of some exponentially accurate discretization and homogenization? I don't know.
Oh, okay. I don't know yet. I don't know. Because I don't even know how to do it at the moment for the analytic case. So for the VT. I mean, it might be interesting to think about this. What happens, what's the result for the PE, to think what happens if you discretize it using these numerical homogenization methods. Yeah, I don't know.
Yes.
Do you know anything about the well-posedness of the equations that are determined by the modified Hamiltonian that you construct?
Well, yes. I mean, in a way, that's kind of, they are obviously well-defined, and you know, they have a certain uniqueness because they live on a finite-dimensional space. You know, that's how we do it, right? I mean, they lived on the Galerkin approximation.
Okay, but you do not know it uniformly in the parameters that you have.
Yes, I do. I mean, that's how we constructed this. We constructed this in such a way that the constants don't explode, you know? So that you have an ODE which becomes higher and higher, it gets higher and higher dimension, but it's always, all the constants remain bounded, so that's fine.
So they're well posed on a fixed time interval.
Yes, I mean, exactly. I mean, that's the thing. Like, the thing is always at least, like, if you do want to go over exponentially long times or very long times, you need to know somehow that have to have some analytic estimate that for the original PDE, it's bound, you have a motion which is bounded for such a long time. That's difficult to get for, you know, because you don't have global attractors or anything. It's not a dissipative PDE. So, you know, so that's why we only make any statements on finite time intervals.
If not, thank you. And I saw there were some of you coming in. If you are on